Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the love of our lives, the wind beneath our wings, the beat of our hearts, the rhythm of the universe, and the current that keeps it in motion, alive to the minutest atom. Beloved and beautiful Bhagwan, you're all that matters and ever will. With all our love and humility, we bow over and over again at thy infinite glory. Sai Ram, dear listeners, good morning. Let me begin by apologizing for this terrible delay we had of almost 16 minutes in logging in. It was due to some technical difficulty we were facing. And please accept heartfelt apologies from all of us at Team Radio Sai for this tardiness. I hope you and Bhagwan can forgive us for that. Now, my name is Karuna and I thank you very much for staying with us on Thursday, July the 30th, 2015. And just so you know, we are coming to you live on our Asia stream from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. We are just hours away from the big day on the Sai calendar that falls tomorrow, namely Guru Purnima 2015. And just so you know, the time in the ashram right now is 9:57 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And if you're listening to some strumming in the background, you will find out very soon where it's coming from. And just so you know, it is live. Current weather conditions in Prashanthi Nilayam, well, they were so pleasant till about 2 days ago. But since yesterday, the mercury decided to take a quick jump. And it has become somewhat warmer than before. Current temperature outside Radio Sai Studios is 29 degrees Celsius and it is expected to rise to 35 Celsius in the afternoon. But we are not complaining about the overnight lows. Those are just picture perfect at 23 degrees Celsius. That would be around 73 degrees in Fahrenheit. And even better news is that over the next 2 days, that is on Friday and Saturday, we are going to see some cloud and thunder activity in the skies and occasional showers. Right now, Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram is a beehive of activity. We are buzzing with devotees from all over India making a beeline for the Guru Purnima festival tomorrow. And the international community is also here. Seekers from a variety of races, cultures, spiritual backgrounds are arriving in large numbers to attend the day dedicated to the Guru of all Gurus, the Supreme Teacher to humanity, our Sadguru Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. And we see a whole lot of foreign delegates wearing these badges and looking busier than usual. One of them is Dr. Srinivas Raghavan and he's here right now in the studio, happily strumming his guitar, and we will be talking to him very shortly. And for our listeners around the world, especially those in the Middle East, we have lined up a treat for you in the second half of the show this morning. Please note and please inform your family and friends through phone, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, Messenger, SMS, text or any other means that in about half an hour, we will be playing a Radio Sai exclusive that you would not want to miss. For the very first time ever, in an exclusive Tryst with Divinity interview with Radio Sai, listeners will hear from Mr. G.B. Choitram Jethwani of Dubai. I will play this very interesting interview after we speak to our studio guest, Dr. Raghavan. As I said, Dr. Srinivas Raghavan is wearing a tag and looking so busy, like a man on a mission who has places to go to and tasks to fulfill for his master. But without any delay, let's decode the mystery behind the excitement we see in the faces of these office bearers from around the world. So let me begin by introducing my studio guest this morning. Dr. Srinivas Raghavan has a deep and long involvement with the Sai movement in San Diego, California, USA. He has served as an able and capable instrument in various capacities at youth, center, regional and national levels of the Sai International Sai Organization. He has also conducted Sai leadership workshops for youth and adults and developed the national online program for SSE USA. And presently, he is a member of the Sri Satya Sai International Organization's Education Committee. Musically inclined, he has composed many popular bhajans that we hear all over the world. Academically, he appears to have studied a lot and for a lot of years. He holds a PhD in computer science from The Ohio State University in the United States. And if this wasn't enough, he even got himself an MBA from the University of California in San Diego. Professionally, he runs a management and technology consulting company in San Diego, USA, and teaches digital healthcare at the Case Western Reserve University's San Diego campus. He is currently in Prashanti to attend Guru Purnima 2015 and also some conference about which we hope to learn more from him. So, Sai Ram, Dr. Raghavan, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, and thank you for having me here. Sai Ram to all of you, Sai Ram, all of the guests and all of the listeners today. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here in the divine presence of Swami in Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of divine peace and love. We are very, very grateful to Bhagavan for giving us this opportunity to be here with him and to experience his divine love, and also this privilege and opportunity to speak at Radio Sai. I'm very grateful to you.
Well, tell us, you look like one very busy person. What's going on, and how is it that we see you running about the ashram, attending one meeting, running from one camp to another?
It's actually, we have a wonderful opportunity. The Satya Sai International Organization has been working over the last 8 months furiously to put together an international conference on Sai spiritual education, formerly known as Bal Vikas in the international program. We have 48 countries that are represented in this conference that will be held on August 1st, 2nd and 3rd.
Right here
in Prashanti Nilayam at Purnachandra Auditorium actually. Mm-hmm. The delegates are arriving through the day and in the evening as well as the night. So there's furious activity going on, trying to get everybody situated. They're right now organizing the chairs. We have many exciting things in this program, which I would love to talk to you about.
Yes, go ahead. Give us some idea about what is exactly the objective.
So, let me give you a vision of what I think would be the impact of this program. There's an international organization has many countries and 11 different zones who are working together to understand and bring together the Satya Sai education program, both including the Sai spiritual education program for children in the Sai centers, as well as this Satya Sai EHV program in the community. And this conference is on Sai spiritual education. The objective is to have the entire globe, all of our Sai resources that Swami has so generously provided to us, come together so that we can all be one Sai family to teach every single child. Let every single child benefit from every resource that's available from around the world to be included in cooperative and in a loving manner so that we can bring our talents and skills to bear to raise every child's character and abilities. This is our vision, that we can bring to bear the entire resources, because some areas of the world the Sai families may not have the skills or the resources, and other places they have too much. So we wish to bring together everyone and build an international platform from which all of the teachers, the students, the parents and alumni, everyone can benefit in such a way that the outcome of this will not only raise children of good character, but also students and families who can work together and to build harmony in their home, in their Sai center, in their new local community, in their country, and in the entire world. This is our vision, is to bring everyone together, to build cooperation, and to build love and harmony in our Sai family.
Brother, you speak of this vision of leave no child behind. How do you approach parents or families that are not inclined towards this sort of character building education? They don't see the value of it as compared to academics or sports.
Yes, it's a good question actually. The Swami has blessed us with a wonderful program, and he said that where there is honey, the bees will naturally come. So rather than focus on the bees, we focus on generating the honey. If we can provide good quality programs that have tremendous value, that have good reach, and we educate our Sai family as well as other parents, naturally when they see the benefit and the value of the program, Swami's program is not just an ordinary program, because Bhagavan is behind it personally. And this Swami's presence and His divine will make every child extremely successful in their life, not just in their character education or in their secular education, but in their being able to achieve happiness. Today we are finding that people have everything, but unfortunately they lack peace and happiness in their life. And this will be provided by Bhagavan's grace. So we wish that our program be presented very well, be organized very well, and be providing extremely high value. And in this case, naturally the parents and others will wish to come, and in fact we would probably not be able to fulfill everybody's requirements in terms of all the children who are going to come to this programs.
So, why not fulfill everybody's requirements? What do you mean by that?
Meaning that we will have more audience to work with than we have the teachers necessary. So naturally we have to train our teachers and to build a good resources for them to use. And one of the challenges for the international program is there are multiple languages. English is not a commonly spoken language in many of the countries.
And I think it's nice for Americans to remember that, yes.
And so one example...
Latin America, there's such a huge Sai movement, and people don't speak English there.
Also, even in Latin America, they have Spanish as well as Portuguese. So they have a challenge there as well. So the goal of our international program is to promote the theme of unity and harmony among all the different zones, to build a culture of trust and cooperation with the faith and confidence in Swami. This is our...
Now, my question is, someone may point out that similar classes are also offered at Sunday school by churches, by other groups, whether it's the Chinmaya Mission or the Brahma Kumaris. So how is it, or what is it that we are doing differently at the Sai spiritual education that makes the difference? And when you say Swami is behind it, the same Swami or God is behind what the church teaches children, same ethics, or whether it's your Buddhism classes or if it's the Chinmaya Mission. So what is it that we are doing differently that we expect to be the pull for families?
So true. Thank you. Actually, it's a good question. The audiences for our program, there are 7 or 8 different audience segments. So honestly, one size doesn't fit all. Mm-hmm. And so if you consider to answer this question more precisely, we should consider which audience segment are we talking about. When we say Sai spiritual education or Bal Vikas, many times the audience for that is our Sai center families who are devotees of Swami. However, Swami himself said, devotee is not if you declare yourself, but it is me who has to say you're devotee. In the practical terms, today's world, what is happening is there's children who are coming from families who may or may not know about Sai Baba. So even in the Sai center, you have a more generic audience. So then if you go into the community again, there are children who believe in God, but some who don't believe in God. So again, you have differences there. Then also we have differences where people of Indian origin are distributed around the world, and they have a different perspective than those who are not of Indian origin. And so again, there are differences in the audiences. So the beauty of our program and Swami's message of love and harmony and broad-mindedness is extremely broad-minded. So the value is that the child can learn from a very young age, and I'll give my own example. From very young age, you can learn to work with everybody. Swami said, there is the people are more important than all the things. If you have a company, for example, in our company also, the human beings are the ones who do the work. So if you take care of the human beings, naturally the work will be taken care of. These kind of practical skills we learn from Swami's program. It's not just about the spiritual realization or even higher concepts of Atma and inner divinity and so on, but at a very, very practical level. How do you work with human beings? People who like you, people who don't like you, people who are against you, people who praise you. Swami is a perfect example of how to work with everyone and love everyone and speak obligingly but not necessarily oblige. So we have beautiful lessons to learn from Swami himself.
These are lofty ideals and lofty goals. Do you think it's practical for a guru or an SSC teacher to achieve this or to bring about this sort of a transformation when all they have is 2 hours of interaction with the child in a week?
Yes, it's actually a very practical problem. Because if you look in a school year, they have around 10 months to work with the students, and roughly the timeline is 30 classes in a year at the most. And so in 30 classes, 1 or 2 hours, that is almost equal to 1 week of school with 1 weekend. So for a teacher to achieve all of these is extremely difficult. So there is a process or a way out which Swami has himself provided. See, teaching should be inspirational. It should not be informational. If you inspire the child enough that they would be wanting to learn more, then their desire for God will naturally pull them towards Him. And if you have the desire for Him, He's waiting to teach us. So therefore He does that. For example, for me personally, as a young child, I remember my mother pointing to Swami's photograph. In that photograph was signed by Swami. In those days, I didn't know that the significance of it. But she pointed it and said that this is God. You ask Him whatever you want, He will answer you and He will give you. This gave me the faith and the foundation in my life. So that from then on, actually, I clearly remember going to any temple, I would pray to Swami. I didn't know any other God or anything. I see the God, but I would pray to Swami and say, you come and save me or you help me. Of course, as a child, the most important time when you need His help is when you have an exam. And so I used to pray to Him right before my exams. But my own family, my great-grandmother was one who inspired me. She would tell stories of Krishna and Rama, and I used to lie down, I remember, on her lap, and I would spend hours with her to just listen to the stories. One day she looked at me and said, you know what, I finished all my stories. So I remember distinctly looking back at her and said, doesn't matter, Grandma, you start again from the beginning. I'm happy to hear it again. So these children have a receptiveness. If you tap into that, then they will have plenty of time.
Well, you know, there's something I have to point out. The worldview with which you grew up as a very innocent child, where you reveled in stories about heroes such as from the mythology, some may say, or the epics, is very different from the reality of a child who's growing in today's world with all sorts of exposure to media, music, sci-fi, movies, television, whatnot. So they may find, how do you keep somebody from the, what is that, this Justice League heroes on one side, and then Rama and Krishna and everybody and Hanuman on the other, and what of the children who are not exposed to Hinduism or Sanatana Dharma at all, who grow up in a different spiritual climate or a faith, come from a different faith group? How can Sai spiritual education actually address the needs of such a diverse group of people in a world that's changing so rapidly, where our children's reality or exposure to the world is so drastically different from ours?
Mm-hmm. Actually, the message is all provided in Swami's own words. He himself has given not only the answers but also demonstrated it in his own life. For just a simple example, actually, regarding 2 points. One is faith and the other one is confidence. I will mention about this. So I've been with children and working with children for over 30 years. And I remember one time we were having a conference with the children, And afterwards, they were singing the song. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. So Swami's recording is there on that, and so we played it. They learned the song because they were going to sing it. Afterwards, the children were just talking, and I was paying attention to what they're saying. And so one was saying, this Swami's singing, the Indian songs he sings very well, but English song he has an accent. So the other one is saying to him, hey, shoo, don't say like that, he's God. So the innocent children have the innocence and the faith that God, if you say God is everywhere and God is one, and they believe. But social conditioning doesn't allow you to continue and sustain that belief. And that's where I believe confidence will come into play. It's not enough to have faith, but to have confidence in God. When you have confidence in Him, then there's no problem, because He says, any name is mine, all forms are mine. What is your problem? You can pray to anybody. It's not really an issue. But to get that confidence is a challenge. Unfortunately, not all adults have that confidence. They may not have experienced it yet. So because our program has a mix of people who themselves are in transition in their life, in their spiritual journey. So it is to be fair to the children, we have to compare apples to apples. We should compare those teachers who have strong faith and confidence and compare them and expose the children who have a challenge about faith and confidence, and give these teachers the chance to work with those parents, those children. Then we can see how it works. It's quite simple, because when we have confidence in Him and He comes through to help you when you're in need, then you have nothing to worry about, because He, regardless of which God you're praying to, He still answers you. And so then you realize that, you know what? This God is pretty awesome. He's much better than some of these other characters. For example, if you take every hero, Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Steel Man, whatever it is, they don't always show up when they're needed. They miss, they drop the ball once or twice. Swami never dropped the ball. This is extraordinary. And there's so many stories in my own personal life I can tell. Never drop the ball. Never. And so when we have such a God, what do we have to worry about?
I see. Now, the Sai spiritual education program in the West, especially, for example, in North America, one sees the composition of the student population is pretty homogenous, is children from Indian backgrounds. So obviously they are children of immigrants, second generation, at best third. What is the Sai, International Sai Organization, doing to draw children from more diverse groups that actually represent the mainstream American societies?
Actually, yes, it's true. It's more than American society, because the world has a diverse, non-homogeneous population. If you look at the history, the trend in the international organization has been because the people who were devotees came to see Swami and went and lived in other parts of the world. They were mainly of Indian origin. And they were the ones, people of Indian origin have had more children than devotees who are Western origin. Just a statistic, it's nothing. So in our Sai Center, if you see children, they're mainly from people of Indian origin, simply because their children have been...
Okay, and also we are more in number. Chinese and Indians dominate world population. I understand that. Yeah. But about 30 years ago, we saw a lot of Western devotees here. And when we read early Sai literature, there's a huge presence of seekers from outside of India who came to Bhagwan. When we look at the organization and its composition and its membership, that ratio does not necessarily reflect. It did not translate. So something in between, we seem to have lost one link. What can we do to fix it? What are the organization's thoughts on it?
So organization, Satisai International Organization is taking very conscious steps to do this. They have established Institute of Satisai Education around the world in many countries. Mm-hmm. The institute is staffed with qualified people, both of Indian origin and of non-Indian origin, who can work together and bring this two perspectives or multiple perspectives together. So, for example, in New Zealand, we have an institute. In USA, we have a Satya Sai Institute.
In Canada, Thailand.
And then there are schools being established. Of course, some of the schools have children of Indian origin and some have of mixed origin. It depends on the community that they're working with. So, I think the first step is to get organized, and that's what the international organization is working very hard through involving younger people, involving a mix of older and younger people, involving women and men, involving people of different races and different countries to be represented, to get a good perspective. So the efforts are very sincere and it takes time, but I think it's step by step, it is heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Raghavan, is there any attempt at the current conference that you're going to begin in 2 days' time to integrate these diverse perspectives and visions?
Yes, so in fact, I wanted to mention that. So in the conference we have on the second day, we have in SSC Networking Fair, and we have around 45 different stations that are there. It's not an exhibition in the sense you're not coming to look at an exhibit, which is a posters or thing. You're actually coming to meet and talk to people from around the world. So we have a wide representation from the international community. 48 countries are represented in the networking fair. If you'd like to know what is going on in the world in Satya Sai spiritual education, mm-hmm. and a little bit of bridging to the SSEHV as well as Satya Sai schools, you can come for that networking fair on day 2. It's on August 2nd in the afternoon.
Is it open to public?
Actually, since the delegate registration is closed, at this point it's not open to public, but a report would be available. However, we have representatives from the Satya Sai organization in India as well, who are coming as observers so that they can report back. We also have we are fortunate to have the Radio Sai team also be part of to be there, and also we have the Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program represented. We wish to build bridges. We wish to build to network and to bring the talents from everyone. You know, like the Inside Out movie, everybody has a place in Swami's puzzle. It's not one is greater than the other. It may look like it at one particular time, but over time, everyone has important place and purpose. And that's what we want to put this like a jigsaw puzzle, fit everyone together so that we can get the value from Swami's entire program. So I think it takes time and effort. However, the effort is very sincere. I'm very appreciative of the international organization leadership team. It's not easy to work with diverse global organization. In fact, over the last 6 months, I have spoken to every single zone and interviewed their leadership and recorded it on video so that we can watch what they're saying and learn from all of that. So the program that has been built for the conference, actually, it brings together the lessons from all over the world. So we have workshops from leading countries like Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. We have experts from the education committee who are very well versed in topics. They are giving workshops. We have Mrs. Geeta Ram, whom you're all very, very familiar with, through her wonderful, wonderful stories. She's coming as a keynote speaker. And Bernice Mead, who's kind of the mother of Satya Sai spiritual education in the U.S., she's going to be giving a keynote. So we have an exciting program, and I have one more thing in the program. If I'm able to share.
Please do.
So, see, we wish to bring not only the children up, but we want to bring the youth and have them also involved. And one important part of this conference is a theme song. And this theme song has been composed. I worked with the Satya Sai youth of Southern Florida. Mm-hmm. They've composed this song not as a composition. Actually, it came together as a devotional experience. The question I asked them was, if you sit in Kulwant Hall and you are in a bhajan and Swami called you up, he does that sometimes, what would you tell him? Well, frankly, first I asked, how much time would you have? He said, well, maybe 1 minute. I said, no, probably 15 seconds. What are you going to say to Swami in 15 seconds? And the second question, what do you think he would say to you? So this was the question, and as they worked on it through the day in the workshop, and we came up with three songs. Mm-hmm. This is one of them that I'll share with you just briefly.
Please. Yes.
You are my everything, dear Swami. You are my loving Lord of all. You are my everything, dear Swami. You are my loving Lord of all. I see you, I see you, I see you in one and all. I see you, I see you, I see you in one and all. Thank you for granting us your darshan. Thank you for blessing us all. I see you, I see you, I see you in one and all. Sigh, I surrender at your feet. You take my troubles all away. You give me hope, you give me life. Love you, Lord, with all my might. You give me hope, you give me life. Love you, Lord, with all my might. I see you, I see you, I see you in one and all. I see you, I see you, I see you in one and all. This song has been translated into eight languages. And
it's beautiful.
Thank you. So the credit goes to our youth, our children, our parents, and the teachers especially. So our goal in this conference is really to bring this together, to fit them into a...
How many total puzzle. Delegates?
Over 500 delegates are there, 48 countries, and we have lots of volunteers who are very furiously working right now.
Yes, we see them around the ashram.
And just as a message to close is, this Swami who has been with us, was giving, still giving, we are eternally grateful to him for everything he has done. And we wish that we may be instruments of his love. And to begin that journey, we wish and pray that we shall be able to see him in all, without restraint, without reservation, and be able to enjoy his love and divinity everywhere. And we wish our children will know about Swami, and to know about his life and teachings and message, and also be able to work in his mission actively. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Amen to all those good wishes you say. We wish you the very best for the conference and to take the mission forward.
Thank you so much, Jaisai.
Appreciate your presence on the show, along with your music and your guitar and everything.
Thank you.
You are a wonderful package, brother. So you're always welcome back in at Radio Sai, because we are so fond of music around here. You know, we have a very creative musical team in-house. So anybody who comes with an instrument, all the boys are all drawn to that person. So thank you so much, Dr. Srinivas Raghavan of San Diego, California. Sairam, dear brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions regarding this conversation with Dr. Srinivas Raghavan, as well as the International Education Conference happening here in Prashanthi Nilayam, are most welcome by email. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. So thank you for staying with me on Morning Glory on this beautiful Thursday morning, July the 30th, 2015. The current temperature in the ashram is 31 degrees Celsius right now, and the time is 29 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. And this is the perfect moment for me to play for you part one of a Radio Sai exclusive Tris with Divinity interview with the highly respected Mr. G.B. Choitram Jetwani of Dubai. And please don't forget, number one, that I'm going to play part two of this must-listen-to interview right here on Morning Glory next week. And number two, I said number one. Oh, sorry, that was number one. Now, number two, after you finish hearing part one today, take a moment to get on your internet and send us your feedback by email at listener@radiosai.org. So here now is part one of Tris with Divinity with Mr. G.B. Choitram Jetwani of Dubai for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show, the rest of the show, and I'll meet you next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with individuals from around the globe whose lives have been touched and transformed by the love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today, on October the 29th, 2014, we are very privileged to welcome to the Radio Sai Studios the highly respected Mr. G.B. Choitram Jethwani of Dubai. Mr. G.B. Choitram Jethwani, or G.B. as he is popularly known, is the chairman and managing director of the G.B. Group, which incidentally is spelt G-E-E-B-E-E. And this G.B. Group is a highly reputed industrial business house in the Gulf region and beyond that took its roots in 1892 from the family business that started in Karachi and was later established in Dubai in 1950. Today, Mr. Choitram's business empire operates in various key sectors including garments, plastics, building materials, steel and heavy machinery, wholesale textiles and chemicals. Given the success of the group, the royal family of Dubai appreciates GB as a major contributor to the economy of Dubai, for the company had the distinction of supplying cement, sheet piles, heavy machinery and other allied goods for a number of major projects, thus fueling the economic boom in Dubai. Active in manufacture, export imports, trading and distribution, the GB Group's growth and diversified interests has seen it expand its markets to Europe, USA, South Asia and the GCC, or the Gulf Cooperation Council, comprising of the Islamic monarchies of Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Listed amongst the 100 most influential Asians, Brother GB's material success definitely makes for a compelling case study for business schools. Yet, it is his faith in the divinity of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba that qualified him to be a divine instrument in the hands of his revered master. Today, the flourishing Sai movement in Dubai and the surrounding region has Brother GB's signature everywhere, and this includes the setting up of a Sri Satya Sai Center in his home. Given his high-powered networking abilities, he was also instrumental in bringing a member of the UAE royal family to meet Bhagwan Baba, and he has pioneered the introduction of human values education amongst the academia in the UAE region. Often viewed as a tough, no-nonsense businessman, at heart, Brother GB is a compassionate, charitable and contented person. Married to Mrs. Kishori Choitram, his wife of 61 years, he is a father of 4 daughters and 2 sons and has 12 grandchildren. Brother GB's secret of success in life is simple. Sincerity and hard work pay in the long run. Sairam, Mr. Choitram, sir, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you very much.
Sir, yesterday, that is on October 28, 2014, the all-important thread ceremony, the Yagnopavitam of your grandson was celebrated here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Now, surely this could have been done any place else in the world with better hospitality facilities than our little village of Puttaparthi. Why did the Choitram family of the GB Group fame choose to do it here?
When I became in the fold of Sai Baba.
Yes, sir.
So all my children also became in Baba's fold. I've been coming regularly. In the beginning, I was coming 10 to 12 times in a year. And now my trips are about 5 in a year. But all my children, grandchildren, they feel happy to come to Puttaparthi and see Baba. This was not in my hands, but it is Swami who made it like that. Now family is quite big, therefore Swami has given me a house here, which has 8 bedrooms.
In Prashanthi Nilayam.
There are only two such houses in Prashanti Nilayam Ashram. One is Swami given to me, and one Swami gave it to Rajmata of
Jamnagar.
Jamnagar and Navnagar. I used to see Swami many times in a year, and there are a lot of things which I learned from Swami. In the beginning of my coming to Puttaparthi, I was very disappointed because I had no house here, no room here. I used to come and stay in the room of one of my relations.
May I ask which year it was?
Say 32 years back, when I first came here. Before Swami's 60th birthday.
I see.
And then there used to be only one office where telephone was there, from where we can book
trunk calls
or long distance calls. So we used to book it and then sit there for 1 hour, 2 hours till the turn comes and they connect us. So once I came and booked the call and left, because I knew they will call me after half an hour or 1 hour. But I don't know how, when I left the office, the trunk call came. And there was one very old gentleman who used to be there. When the call came, I was not there. So another gentleman, head of books, got upset with that old man who allowed me to go. He got very upset. And he really talked to me in an insulting way, which I could not take it. And after that I left, after talking to my office, and complained to one of my relations who is staying here since years with Swami. So he called the concerned person and told him that, why did you talk like this with GB? And you don't know him. Who you know him, it's not correct on your side. Anyway, he told him that, okay, I will now be cautious in the way. But 2-3 days I was here, all the 2-3 days I was very tense and feeling very bad in my mind that this fellow has insulted me. Now this is Swami's mantra. Same man comes to me after a few years, maybe 2 years or 3 years, and told me that his son wants a job in Dubai. I told him, you insulted me and you have come to me, how can I favor you? Anyway, he said, sorry sir, this and that. Then my anxiety and my worry reduced, because he came and said, sorry sir.
So you carried this anxiety for 2 years in your heart?
Yes, wow. Because I'm a very sensitive person.
I see.
If one word you speak which is not liked by me, I'll be tense. And I will not sleep at night.
Wow.
I was so sensitive person. But slowly and steadily, Swami reduced that in me. And I recovered a lot. Whenever I used to come to Swami, he used to materialize vibhuti and give to me. And I was only coming regularly here practically every month to get interview from Swami. First trip there was no interview, but Swami materialized prasad and gave me in the line. And then as I took it on the palm, everybody took it, which I did not know. Ultimately my whole palm became empty and it was nothing for me even. Then my friend here, relation here, with whom I used to stay, told me that you must not give to anybody else, this was only for you. I said, but I did not know. Second day darshan also Swami gave me. So I covered it by hand and so that nobody should touch. I left after 2 days Puttaparthi. I came after 5 months to Puttaparthi. Again Swami gave me prasadam twice in 3 days. I left. I came third time after 3 weeks. So the relation of mine got a shock that whenever he comes, every 2-3 weeks he is here and he is very busy man and this and that. So third time when I came, Swami called me for interview and I became very happy. Swami said that you had lot of disease and I removed everything now by giving you prasadam.
Three times.
So I relieved you from there.
Did you have any physical ailments?
No, not known to me.
I see.
But you see, many other things, which small things, which Swami may know, but I was not knowing. Mm-hmm. I had at that time no high blood pressure, no nothing. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that I had blood pressure, high blood pressure. And even I had cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Maybe that these two things Swami has removed from my body. Mm-hmm. That time when I came to interview room, I was feeling myself in a paradise. As you know, that people are selfish. I had come here for my selfishness.
What were you seeking?
I was trying to get the blessings so that my children, because I had 4 daughters and then 2 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days to get the daughters married in big family and reputable rich family was not very easy.
Mm-hmm. But you were a well-established businessman.
Yes, but still I was worried about my daughters.
I guess you being a sensitive father.
Yes, not sensitive, very sensitive.
Super sensitive.
Yes. So I told Swami in my interview, first interview, that Swami, I come to you for this. So he immediately said, I know the boy. And you want this boy for your daughter? I said, yes, Swami. He said, okay, don't worry. I became very happy. But in 3 months' time, they themselves came and offered. And I was very happy. And then I became very interested in Swami.
He had fulfilled your
dream. Yes, which was not possible at all. And when he said, okay, I will do it, to be very honest with you, I did not feel that it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a new devotee of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
I had no experience. But when it happened, my hopes and other things increased and I started coming regularly here. Neither I was used to have experience of sleeping on the floor, nor I used to have experience of having bath without shower, many things. And here it was not there, but I used to enjoy staying here in spite of not having all these facilities. My relation with whom I used to come and stay, Khyaldas.
Uncle Khyaldas, I knew him so well.
Yes.
I was honored to work with him.
Yes, he is my wife's first cousin, her husband.
And he used to attend to Bhagwan those days.
Yes, yes, he used to be with him inside the room.
Yes.
Before Swami comes, he used to come out.
First.
We used to get signal that Swami is now following.
As soon as Uncle Khyaldas came out, we knew that Swami would come.
Swami
soon
would come in 1 minute or 2 minutes maximum.
Yes.
So, his son came from India also, who knew me very well living in Dubai.
Uh-huh.
He was working with one of the banks.
Uh-huh.
And he knew us by everything about me. So once I returned from interview, they both were talking, and the wife also, Chandra, his wife's name is Chandra, that there is something that GB is worried. Otherwise, why should he come to Puttaparthi, sleep on the floor, and no correct bath, this and that, no food. Food I used to eat in Kelda's house, mostly dal and rice. So as I entered the room, I heard them talking about me, that he is in very serious problem. Therefore, in 6 months he has come 4 times. I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I entered the room. I told them, I have no worry. I have come here only for one reason, which Swami has solved. Now, so I will not come regularly here every 3 months or 1 month. And the reason of my coming here was selfishness. But they did not believe me. They were 100% sure that I have some serious problem, therefore I am coming and seeing this hardship. But they did not realize that for me it was not hardship, I was enjoying. Why? I don't know. And I was the regular visitor here. Then one time, another gentleman in the interview room told Swami that I know this gentleman, GB, and he has been coming here. Swami replied him that he has been coming since 25 years. He is my devotee since 25 years. Now, when I heard this in my mind, I knew that I am not devotee since 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I am devotee since few years.
Mm-hmm.
But how come Swami said 25 years? So I started doubting few things. I came out from the interview room. On the way, before I reached to his room, I remembered that I had gone to Swami in Bombay with my father 25 years back.
Oh, like a general darshan.
Yes, in general darshan.
Public darshan.
Public darshan.
Mm.
And there, of course, my father took me. I had darshan of Swami 25 years back. Therefore, Swami has said that he is with me since 25 years. So these things started in my mind, that how come I don't remember, Swami remembers. I came 25 years back to Swami, had darshan, and Swami remembers that, and I don't remember myself. Then the faith increased. And I was very, very regular devotee of Swami, coming every 2-3 months. I remember one year I came 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to live in Dubai, but used to go to Far East twice, thrice a year. I will take a flight from Dubai to Bombay. Bombay we got head office. Stay a few days in Bombay. Then I will go to Singapore, stay 1 day, then Hong Kong, then Japan. Because we had connection and business in Japan also. Of course, not our office, but we had quite big business with Japan. So when I used to go from Dubai to Japan via Bombay, because Bombay is our home and our office also. If I touch Bombay, I will come to Puttaparthi. Then I will go to Japan. When I come back for going to Dubai, again via Bombay, and I will come to Puttaparthi. If I touch Bombay, means I have to go to Puttaparthi. So it became about 10 to 12 times in a year. And it was not that I was forced to go. I wanted to go on my own. It was coming in my mind that you must have darshan of Swami before going, proceeding further.
Did Swami often speak with you when you came during these frequent visits?
Yes. As I told you, I have been coming since last 25 years. Excepting last 2-3 years, I had never left this place without having interview with Swami.
If it meant waiting, you would wait?
Yes, but Swami never said, wait, I will see you.
Uh-huh.
Very rarely he used to tell me. Otherwise I will wait.
Uh-huh.
But Swami will call me. my faith. Mm-hmm. And every visit of mine in Puttaparthi, Swami used to give me interview.
So what sort of conversations did you both have inside?
Well, as I told you that we all, most of the people are selfish.
So after you found your four daughters very good matches,
yes.
What else did you talk to him about?
I used to ask him everything, even my business, my health, my daughters, my sons, my wife.
Okay.
Anything used to come in my mind, I used to ask him.
Mm-hmm. Personal matters.
Yes, and then sometime I used to think that I had to talk this, but when I go to Swami, I forget few points. Then I started writing in the piece of paper, putting in my pocket, and then go inside for interview. Then I used to open the paper and talk to Swami. After many years, Swami told me, don't bring this paper to me. Then I stopped bringing, but then I won't forget forget most of the things. Swami used to tell me what you want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to tell me, what this, do this, do this, do this, without reading any paper or without remembering that I had to ask. He used to remind me, you had to ask this, this, and the reply.
So did he counsel you on your business?
I used to ask everything.
Like decisions, should I invest
in this? Yes, yes, business, details of business, my life, everything.
And he advised you?
He used to guide me.
And you followed the guidance?
Of course, and successfully. For everything, I was laughing on myself, that like a child who asks his father and mother, shall I eat, shall I do this? Like that I used to talk to him. Not as a devotee or anything, like a child. Some questions anybody will hear will laugh at me.
Like what? Share one.
Once I asked Swami, Swami, I eat meat. What shall I do?
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat vegetarian meal at all. He said, okay, don't worry. After a few months, I started eating only vegetarian, not non-vegetarian at all.
It just happened.
And I was not even I'm a vegetarian now, but I'm not missing meat. Otherwise, with every meal, I could not eat that meal without having one dish of non-veg. So this was his power.
Hmm.
Otherwise, I never ate only vegetarian meal.
Mm-hmm.
And now I eat only vegetarian since the last 20 years.
And his answer was so simple.
Very simple. Will not impress or appeal me.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I practice, I find that this is what Swami has said.
Hmm. Now, apart from asking questions about your personal issues related to your children and your business interests, what about matters of spiritual interest? Did you discuss them? Because Swami says, no, I give you what you want in the hope that you will want what I have actually come to give you.
Very true.
So, did you go beyond that?
Yes, we discussed, but not as much as I used to discuss about myself and my business. And this, our discussion was very small. And he used to guide me in two words.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do whatever he used to tell me, I used to do. And it became easy to follow Swami's guidance to me.
What sort of a guidance did he give you?
Everything.
I mean spiritually.
Spiritually, I asked him once that, Swami, can we have bhajan center in Dubai?
Mm-hmm.
He said no. I was surprised. Why he says no?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Muscat has contacted you. I said, yes. He said, no, don't come under Muscat. After 2-3 years, I again asked him. He said, yes, open.
Mm-hmm.
So we opened center, bhajan center we used to call.
Mm-hmm.
Every week once. Every Thursday. Then, looking to the people's pressure, I asked him that, Swami, can we have twice a week? He said, okay, do it. First people will come less, then it will increase. So, another day we fixed was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday, people were more than Thursday. And Swami has said, yes, you start, but very soon you will get more people. So I was having the hope. With the result, on Thursday 300 people will come, on Sunday only 50. And before it was other way. So all this guidance was being given by Swami. And then we wanted to build one bigger bhajan hall. So I came to Swami. Swami, I want to buy a piece of land and build my own house and bhajan hall, mandir. He said, yes, bahut acha. Now, in these countries, you cannot own any land or any property. You cannot buy in your own name. But we had our land, which we bought in 1954, in our name, which I could construct. But again, some division came in our family. So they insisted to sell this land. So we sold. So I said, Swami, you can take land in the name of local, which I did not want to, because I wanted to open bhajan center and mandir, and then the local people, they may not allow me to do that, because there is only one religion, Muslim. No other religion is there. In those days, now all the religions are there. So Swami said, okay, you buy land and build. He said, Swami, we cannot buy unless ruler allows me to buy. And it is very difficult, we can't. He said, okay, you meet the ruler. Which did not impress me or appeal me, because I knew that it is not possible. But because Swami said so, I went. And he transferred the land in my name.
Just like that.
I approached him.
Hmm.
He told his secretary to transfer.
I see.
Which was, I was not even dreaming of that.
Hmm.
But then I realized that Swami said, you go and meet and you will get. Hmm. So I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So the power of Swami, even one word, if he used to say, it will happen. But I realized this very late. Anything he will say, which according to me was impossible, it used to happen. So as I told you that we all are selfish, so I started asking everything from Swami. Small thing, big thing, he used to laugh at me. That what such questions you are asking, but I never cared. He used to reply me and I used to do that.
Do you ever wonder what made you so deserving of so much of personal attention and contact?
I have been repeatedly telling you that we all are selfish.
That doesn't... We are all selfish, true.
Yes.
But not all of us have the opportunity to ask Swami how to grow our business, how to settle our children personally.
That's right.
Only pray in our heart in front of a picture or something, not in person as you did.
Very true. You will be surprised to know what questions I used to put Swami. Child will not ask his father that question. I was not worried. I became very easy with Swami, and I used to ask him everything about my business, about my children, about marriages, everything. And he never said that I want to reply. He used to reply me. So you were, when you get the reply of all the questions, then you are encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Then we built our own house and mandir. But each step was approved by Swami while building that building.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Swami, I want to make bhajan hall for 600 people. He said, no, make it for 400. Mm-hmm. So we built the hall for 400 in our building, where our residential building, which was also a miracle. Nobody will get the land at that time in his name. And we got it. And then we built the mandir for 400 people. I came back to Swami that what name I should give to this bhajan hall. We used to call bhajan hall, not mandir. He said, what you have thought? I said, nothing, Swami. It is you who has to guide me. Name. After 2 minutes, he said, make it Satya Sai Mandir. Now, the word mandir is not allowed there.
Yes, in Dubai.
But Swami said, you can't argue with Swami.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted it and left, but worried that how can I call Mandir?
Mm-hmm.
I came back to Dubai and told all my people that now this hall will be called Satya Sai Mandir. They all were astonished and they all became happy at the same time that Swami has given his own name to this Mandir. And we are lucky the devotees started talking. So we made, but we were not announcing the name of the Mandir as Satya Sai Mandir. Slowly, I started calling Satya Sai Mandir. So it is known now Satya Sai Mandir. Every Thursday about 300 people come, every Sunday about 150. But Swami had told me that on Thursday you will have more people slowly, which I did not agree because Sunday you used to get more people.
Mm-hmm.
But now Sunday less, Thursday double.
Mm-hmm.
And we are having that in the basement of the house. Quite good size because 400 people can sit. And when we are building that house, for everything I used to bring the plan to Swami. Because we were to build three houses, two for my two sons, one for me, on that land. He was guiding me, do this, like this. And I used to ask him like a child. So we built that. For opening ceremony, I came to Puttaparthi. Swami, when shall we have opening ceremony and you have to visit Dubai? There were only 3 days left. Because Swami had told me in the beginning that so and so period you can have ceremony of this. Now that period had only 3 days. So I came here to ask Swami that now Swami, this day we have fixed. Giant, please come and bless us. He will not talk to me for 2 days. He will not look at me even. And I was very tense that third day I had to reach Dubai. So, he never gave me opportunity to ask him. So I left because I had to reach on opening ceremony in Dubai. I left, I missed the flight from Bangalore. I said, now if I will not take any flight today, then I can't reach there. And everybody will be surprised. Then somebody told me, now you have a flight to Madras. Chennai, now they call it. And then from there, you can fly to Dubai and reach at midnight to Dubai. And next day morning is your opening ceremony. So I did that. And from Madras, I phoned to my people that stay there because my flight is reaching at midnight. I will come straight from airport to Mandir to see the things you have arranged in 3 days and then go home. So I did that. And everything went so smoothly, everything conveniently. And then we had ceremony in the morning. As I have been telling you that every step Swami has helped me and he has allowed me to ask such questions. This is big thing for me. But when I came to him to fix the date, as I told you, he did not talk to me for 3 days. I was worried that how come? Swami said, I will give you the name, this and that. He's not talking to me. How can we have opening ceremony? But I don't know what courage he gave me and I went and did everything completely. But without his talking to me. Then I realized that if I don't get reply from him, still he's arranging everything. So I should not be fussy to get the reply. But I had to tell him everything. So like that, you see, faith increased in you. And you started getting happiness in your mind that everything Swami is doing for me.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chaitram, are you a person who prays every morning?
Yes. One after bath and before eating lunch. And one in the evening evening means when the lights are on, we call it evening at that time. Third at the time of going to bed. Now morning about 15 minutes, evening about 15 minutes, going to bed about 3 minutes.
You have it all worked out, 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Very precise.
About.
Yeah.
So 3 times a day, I come at the lotus feet every day.
Now, you've received such immense amount of direct guidance from Swami for everything, whether it's like find me a match, catch me a catch, Mitch.
Like a child who asks her
for your daughter.
Yes.
And how to expand your business empire.
Everything.
Did you bring in his teachings into the work that you do, the businesses that you run around the world?
Definitely.
In what form?
We started library in Dubai, every Mandir. And we collected all type of books. To bring these books to Gulf countries is restricted. It was restricted. But I used to bring, and nobody used to stop me. So those books we have in our Mandir as a very good library. So we give those books to people to read.
I mean in your workplace, in your businesses, for example, in the practices that you have in place at various companies all over the world, including the GCC area, to what extent do you bring Swami's teachings of truth, peace, non-violence, right conduct into the work that you do?
We hold EHV classes.
Mm-hmm.
We have EHV classes, and about 30 gurus are teaching to the children, different ages of children. That arrangement we have in Dubai, and we quietly do that regularly.
I see. I also understand that you were instrumental in bringing a member of the royal family, Sheikh Nahayan bin Mubarak Al Nahayan, the Minister of Education, to meet with Bhagwan Baba. Tell us about that experience. How did that come about?
See, as I told you, there you cannot contact any ruling family and talk about any religion except in
Islam.
But he was quite close to me. And I used to tell him my experience with Swami. And I told him, Your Highness, once you should come with me there. He said, I will come. After a few years, he agreed. So we brought him. Now, he had gone to some other places first before coming to Bangalore for coming to Puttaparthi. When I left Dubai and asked him, he said, you meet me in Bangalore. I said, but you are going to Delhi, I can come to Delhi. He said, no, you meet me in Bangalore. The day we meet, next day I will come to Puttaparthi. Because they have government, their own planes. So I said, now since he is coming to Bangalore and he has got few people with him, there were 2-3 Indians also who were managing his other matters. So I said, now let me go direct to Puttaparthi. And Sheikh will come tomorrow from Bangalore to Puttaparthi in his own flight, which he has told me everything. So I came here. I was sitting in veranda for darshan. Swami came. Where is minister? Said, Swami is in Bangalore. He will come tomorrow morning. How come you are here? Go to Bangalore, come with him. So I immediately left Puttaparthi after arriving 2 hours.
Back on the road.
Back in the Bangalore. And next day morning, I came with him.
He flew in a chartered flight?
Yes, they have their own planes, not chartered flights.
Okay, personal plane.
Governments have their own planes, no? But what planes?
I have no idea what it must be like inside.
Seat belt is also not ordinary seat belts.
What are they made of, gold and diamonds?
Something, not diamond. And nice planes, new planes. So from Bangalore, I came with him on his plane. And there were other people also. When we reached near Puttaparthi, the captain, because I was sitting next to him, other people were sitting behind us. Captain came and told His Highness that there is a lot of fog in Puttaparthi, we can't land. Shall we go to Delhi first? Because he was to go to Delhi from here. So His Highness looked at me because I was sitting next to him. I said, after some time it may be better, so please tell him to spend another at least 20 minutes or 15 minutes in the sky and then we will be all right. After 20 minutes, Captain again came. Sorry, sir. There's a big fog. I can't land. He was about to tell me, okay, go, tell him to go to Delhi. I told him, no, Your Highness, I think very soon this fog will go. He was not happy from my reply. But it happened that after 15 minutes, captain said, now it looks clear, so I'm landing. So he landed in Puttaparthi, safely, and came to Swami. And Swami had sent Srinivasan of Bangalore and one more gentleman to receive the ship. So we all went to ashram, and it seems to be some festival day where you worship cows.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Krishna Janmashtami or something.
No, some other festival which I don't remember now. Uh-huh. So I was worried because we worship cows, they eat cows. Mm-hmm. But it happens, so happened that at the time of worship cows, it was over.
Okay.
And then we entered in the
mandir.
Veranda. Mm-hmm. So Swami saw us and they made us to sit in veranda for about 5-10 minutes, and then Swami came and took him to interview room. We all were sitting out.
Only His Highness and Swami?
Yes. There were another 15 people of their side who came with him.
But they were outside?
They all were sitting in veranda, and even I was sitting in veranda.
Mm-hmm.
After about 15-20 minutes, Swami called all of us to interview room. Now, I had arranged with the Sheikh that after interview, I will take you to house where we'll have breakfast, which he had agreed. So, but Swami's house, I arranged the breakfast of various types of food, so that I take him and his followers for breakfast, and from there he can go to Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
So, Swami did not like, maybe, that we should go to house, have breakfast, and from there we go. He was holding the hand of Minister Swami and talking. Now that Sheikh was looking at me to go, because he had to reach there and hold meeting with one of the ministers.
Mm-hmm.
But Swami was holding his hand. I told Swami, we are trying to go to get refreshment because we have left the morning. He did not reply me, but after 5 minutes, juices and other things came to the interview room, and they offered to everyone. Because then I realized, because I told Swami that I want to take him to this house because of this. So he served everything there in the interview room. And then minister was getting very late. From Swami's room, after about 1 hour, Swami was holding him. We left and he straight went to airport. He said, Didi, forget this, I'm getting late. So he went to the aircraft office and flew to Delhi.
Now, inside the interview room, what sort of conversation took place? First of all, when the minister was alone with Swami, do we know what language they conversed in?
Must be English.
Mm-hmm. And when you entered and the rest of the entourage joined them, what was the discussion or the conversation about?
One gentleman started telling Swami that, Swami, I attend all the programs of yours in Dubai, I do this, he was praising himself and telling to Swami. And Swami was listening to him, but he was not interested to know that. But he wanted to tell Swami that, I'm this and this, I'm so and so, so and so. Quite rich man. So, after that, one or two more questions somebody asked. Nothing else. And then, after about 1 hour and 15 minutes, we left.
Did you ever have an opportunity to ask the minister, His Highness, what his impression of the meeting was?
That I used to discuss with him when he had not come to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
He used to ask me why I'm going so
frequently.
So I started telling him something.
But how did he feel after meeting Swami face to face? Did you ever find out?
No, he felt very happy and satisfied.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed that he was a chief guest of honor at the Zayed University. You had an event there about education in human values,
yes,
where His Excellency was very much center stage.
Not once, but maybe three times we had held there some conferences and something about education and human values. I used to call
Dr. Jim Tsai,
Lorraine Burroughs, these
yes.
people to attend.
And there was a very nice report in the Khaleej Times and the Gulf News. All of them carried that news about the seminars that you've had, the workshops.
Yes.
Human Values Conference in UAE.
That was also with the help of this minister, otherwise you would have not been allowed.
It says, I can quote, in his opening speech, Sheikh Nahyan said, this conference on education and human values is being presented as a way to address how education of young people can help promote values such as peace, truth and non-violence. These values are also at the core of our country's vision for its present and its future.
Right.
Very, very nice. I see.
I think twice, thrice we held such programs. And Sheikh Nayan used to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody loves you more than you know.
If you love him truly, show him.